Mother Jarraway. Come, Mother Jarraway, they used to walk all over, up over the mountain to come.
Walked it every day?
Every day, all there every day. Used to even walk from there up to Snaefell, mine.
That was a good long walk.
It was a good long walk.
Can you tell me how old were you when you started at the mines?
How old?
Yes.
When I started?
When you started?
15.
15. You'd been to school, had you?
No.
And no school in those days?
No school then, did. And it didn't apply to age going in either.
Well, how young did people work there?
Who?
They had younger people than you.
Well, no. They had no younger than me. I the only way I got in was because when I started on what they call on the washing floors, I went message boy for the captain of the mines, you see. And I kept asking them, wasn't any chance of promotion, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I was meeting them. And he always said, we'll wait and see, we have to wait, you're a bit young, you know, but you come round to us.
And
I remember he gave me a Christmas box, gave me silver threepenny bit.
That was very good of him. Threepence was worth a lot in those days.
Yeah, I think I got it home yet.
Never spent it.
Yeah.
And how old were you then when you finished in the mines?
I think 22, I think it was. I think 21, no. 15 to 19.
Going
on 22 or 23,
I think. Yeah, so not very long.
Well, as long as it lasted.
Yes. What did you do after that?
Oh, well, after that I went in the Manx Electric.
Uh-huh. You know, before Williamson took over the mine, before the grocer took over, who was the mine's captain before him?
Oh, well, Captain Roberts, there was in my young days, there was a man named Captain Redcliffe.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
He used to live in where they call the mine's cabin now.
Yeah.
The pub.
Oh, by the station?
Yes. That was his residence then. Well, then, when Captain Roberts come, a Welshman, of course, he lived up the back, just up the back of the bus station there.
Yeah.
Well, and then there was another, what they call the mine captain, Captain Bateman. He lived out at the mines. And then there was another old man all his days in his life, of Ned Christian. He was the shift boy. He had to go down the mine every day.
He was a sort of under manager.
He had to go round them all every day, that old man. Very nice and very smart man too. He worked in the mine till he was well over 70. Of course he wasn't working, of course, but he had to travel. All them shafts, he'd be one day in the engine shaft supervising the men, and be another day in Dumbles, another day in the Welsh shaft. Oh, great old man he was. He'd be telling him in the morning where to go. We had to go to work.
Yeah. He'd tell everybody where to go.
Yes.
And then he'd go around and see that people were there.
I remember the day I got hurt, anyway. There was a chap in the mines the night and he broke his leg.
Yeah.
And he got brought, you know, he come up. And this day I had a feeling I didn't want to go to work, you know. I didn't want to go. So he said, aren't you going to go to work? I said, no, don't think I will. I think I'll go home. So anyway, I went, but I wasn't long at work till I was brought up in the box.
This was the what they call the dead box, is it?
Yeah. I just went down in this hole when a lump of rock slipped off the hanging and fell and caught my leg.
And broke it.
And I was off. Oh, I was off for months. And the captain of the mines come to see me, and he said, you know, Robert, he said, you can't give you no compensation. Can't give you anything. He said, you're a member of that club. And he said, that'll have to keep you.
You had a club to pay out for sickness, did you?
Eh?
You had a club that paid you when you were sick.
That's right.
Yes. Mm. And you had to pay the club every week, did you?
Yes.
How much would that take?
Well, every month.
Every month?
No, but it's only a sick club, like.
Yeah.
$2 a month. But there was no insurance them days.
Oh,
see?
No. You know, there's a story that the mine captain left little pockets of ore to go back to. Is that right?
That a what?
Well, that the mine captain would leave pockets of ore that he knew was there. He would leave those so that if the mine got in trouble, he could always come back and take those out.
Oh, I don't know. I never heard of that. Not in my time. You know, they did try to sink another shaft there at the end of Dumble's Row there. You know that, Norman, don't you?
Yeah. Waddy Deep.
Waddy Deep.
Yeah.
They did try to sink a shaft there, but it was no good.
When was that?
During the war. During the First World War.
Yeah.
But they see, once the mine closed, they all had to go to Africa and America and all scattered all over the world, you know. Luxor used to be a very, very busy place one time. Oh, so but many.
Yeah.
Well, it was the only place that really was fire, farming or the mines.
Was any fishing from here?
That was the two main industries.
Did anybody do any fishing?
Fishing?
Yes.
Well, the miners done most of the fishing themselves. See, they done a lot of fishing.
You're saying that they sunk a shaft on Dumble's Row or near there. Did they? There's a story about a shaft further north than Agnes, beyond Agnes, called the North Shaft. Do you know anything about that one?
About
another shaft. As you go up the valley, you've got Dumble's Shaft and then Agnes, and they started another one north of that.
Well, the only one ever I heard of, what they call, and I went along that way with my father-in-law sometimes, and we talked. And they used to call it Anne Jane's Hole, a big hole, and quite a few fell in it, you know, but quite deep. And they had to pull them up on ropes.
Yeah.
But that's all I know about that. I've been around that way. As you go around from all of us round to Balaric.
Yeah. Did your father work in the mines?
He worked in Nafell mines.
And didn't work in Laxey?
No. That's my father-in-law I'm talking about.
Ah.
My father did have worked in. Well, he didn't work in the mines, he worked on the washing floor. He worked in the lower part of the washing floor when they had the women on the washing floor.
They didn't have any women working in the mine, did they?
Oh, no, no. I wouldn't get in the mines again, I tell you.
Sorry?
I wouldn't get in again.
You wouldn't?
No.
Oh.
Not about it. Yeah, if I could see, you know, if you could have seen what place you were going, you wouldn't have went, you see, but the candle, you couldn't see much with the candle because you only could see where you're walking.
No, you didn't realise how dangerous it
but
was.
There's such big holes up above you, and when you'd be in night shift, we'd been only two of us in the mine, the whole mine, working, and you'd hear a drop of water, it'd be just like a ton of bricks, and then you'd hear a rumble somewhere else, further away, a lump of rock falling, and when you'd be going to go up, you don't know what you were going to meet.
Yeah.
Or where it was. Been only two of us in the mine many and many and many a time in the whole mine.
Why would that be? Why would there only be the two of you?
You say you want to get so and so tonight, nature. They just come and tell you. You couldn't say no.
So they come and tell you to work a night shift if they just wanted to. A couple of chaps to come and work.
Yeah, they'd say to you today when you go home at 2 o'clock, they say, now come back tonight at 10 o'clock. Do tonight night shift. Well, then you'd be off the next day till the following day again, you see. Well, only two of you in the whole mine. Makes you three, you think, sometimes.
Were there any ghosts in the mine?
Evan?
Were there any ghosts?
No, never heard of any. I wouldn't think of such a thing then.
Probably a good job, too. Anyway, I don't know whether anyone else has got any questions. Because certainly it's been very interesting to hear you. I don't know, have you got any stories about the mine?
Well, none of a couple, you know, that blew their heads off.
What, were firing explosives and didn't get away quick enough?
No. I think it's a matter of suicide.
What, life was that hard, they didn't like it?
Well, there was one case where I didn't do the talk to much about it. He was going to get married, I think, the next day. Oh, that's and then of course you know how they used to draw the ore from where the valley gardens is to the boats, you know.
Yeah.
That was all horse drawn then. You see, they used to hire the horses from the farmers. He'd have about six horses.
They didn't keep any horses themselves.
They won?
The mine didn't have any
horses
of their own.
No, they didn't have none. But when they come to load the boats, you know, they'd send word to the farmer. The farmers were glad enough to get the extra cover. And they'd send for them to come and they'd go on. And it was all done at night time. There was never no loading the boats in the daytime. It was all night time. Going past those houses, they must be kept awake all night with the shouting and singing to the fellas on the wagons, you know. It was an awful spot.
Was the railway then, or was it always taken by cart, or was there a railway down to the...
Well, a little railway going down, you know. Well, I always was, for all my time. All the time I mean I've lived.
And how are the wagons on that pulled?
Well, the wagons were carrying about 5 ton at a time, you see. And used to have it packed up so much, and then there'd be a board across the middle, and all there had to be a brakesman on it.
Where the
downgraded was, he had to save the wagon shoving the horse, you see.
I see, so the wagons would run down on their own, would they?
Oh aye, but I mean they would only so far.
Yeah.
You see, and if it ran run too fast, of course, they're all old farmers' horses and that. They couldn't run
too fast.
And then when they get down towards the shore a bit, they'd have to put trays on to pull them up. To pull the wagons up, you see, one horse wouldn't pull them.
So they had to put a team on?
They had to put two horses on. Mm. Then you'll go right down then to the... There used to be a weighing machine on the quay. And then it was weighed there. And then they went right down to the point of the quay. The boats were always stopping well down to the point of the pier.
And you know these engines that you drove in the attic, the Ant and the Bee.
The engines,
locomotives, the locos.
The locos.
Yeah. How big were they?
Oh, only little things. That was the powers and the driver, the man who was driving the engine, you know. He was always sitting with his back wherever he was going. You understand me? He was always sitting this way, looking at the engine and where he was going. His back was going first. If there was anything in his road, fail or anything, time he was in or the time he's out, been squashed to pieces. And then coming out again the same way. He had to be this end of it to check the wagons from shoving them too fast down the gradient, you see. And then when you were on, you were on the last wagon. On the last wagon with a little step. That big, and you had your 2 feet on that step and your head down all the time, the way you wouldn't catch the ceiling, wouldn't catch the roof of the...
And how many wagons would that pull at a time?
Well, about 6 or 7, and you would go in the first at the half past 6.
Yeah.
Your first time in. Well, then you'd be in, because we'd be working maybe night shift and have some ready for you for if there's any special thing on, they'd have some ready for you. Or they'd maybe start hauling before you'd be ready to get there. You'd have maybe about 5 as you get out at 9 o'clock, you see.
Yeah.
Well, then you'd have a cup of tea then for your breakfast out there. Well, then you'd go in again, you'd be out again at 10, you'd in again, and you'd be out again at 12. Maybe you'd have to wait to get loaded up, maybe a couple extra wagons, and you'd be out again at 1:30.
You were lucky then that you could come out and have a cup of tea.
Well, yes, when you're up while you're on the engine, because you could get hot water from the engine.
And use that to make the tea?
Yes.
Lovely. And did you have a fireman with the engine?
Oh, yes.
I think he had a job, didn't he?
Bibbon?
He had a busy job.
Well, he's a fireman and a driver, you see. They're only little, you know. I don't know, do you ever see the ones with the Crowdle Glen or not?
I didn't see them, no. I've seen pictures.
You can see how small they were. Oh, I think it's the ant and the bee, they call them.
That's right, yes. And didn't they have to carry the coal sort of lodged on the side of the boiler?
Yeah.
So you had to have big lumps of coal so they wouldn't fall off.
No, they didn't have a lot. They had a little kind of a bunker behind them.
Yeah.
You know. And if he stopped, he could well stoke up, you know, while he was in the mine, because he wouldn't use much coming out, you see, when he's all downhill. It was only when he was going in, he'd be using the all gradient down, you see, coming out.
Was there a lot of smoke?
Oh, choker. Sulfur. You know,
yeah.
Because it was the steam coal. Oh, choker.
Where did that come from?
But you see, it was coming out of the coal and then it was hitting the roof and coming down on you, see?
Yeah.
It weren't very high. The tunnel going in, not very high, you know.
Where did the coal come from? Did they have to bring it in by boat, did they?
Oh, yes. Oh, I had to come by boat.
Did they bring other materials in for the mine?
Have they what?
Did they have to bring other things into the mine, like timber?
Yes. A lot of imported timber. Oh, yes, a lot.
Where did that come from?
They had to use a lot of timber for timber in what they call the pitches, like, and buns. You know, you could be, I'm seeing the top of this house, you could be working up 2 or 3 fathom from the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
And you'd have to make a bench for yourself, you know, across with timber before you could start to work, and you stand on that till you get a blast or two to get a footing.
And what did you, when you were working, did you work upwards? You stoke upwards.
It all depends, you see. Sometimes you'd be working up, sometimes you'd be working down. Other times you'd be drifting, what we call drifting, make a tunnel, you see. Making a drive into somewhere else to look for something.
Which was the easiest?
Eh?
Which was the easiest work?
Well.
Which did you prefer?
I prefer the down one. Because when you're driving up, you know, you're all the time, you know.
Over your head, picking over your head.
Off your shoulder. Well, the other way, one's a bad down, I think. And then when you're going in on the other way, you had to get down low and hit that way to keep your bottom at, you know, the level.
Keep the level there,
keep
yes.
The drift level, you see. That's with hand. Of course, there weren't many drill machines in the mines them days. Only big things that took two men to handle them. They were on a big pole and took two men to lift them up to put them on the pole.
And what did they work off?
Eh?
What drove those drills?
Well, they were for when they were driving up to Agnes on the horse level. They were used for.
You say the horse level. Did they have horses in there when you worked there?
Horses, no. But that's what they call that drift. Going up past Dumbles. They always call that the horse level. Why, I don't know.
But the drills, what drove them? Was it compressed air?
Compressed air, had to be compressed air down to 310 too. You had to compress air there too, because once you've seen your candle going down, you knew it was time to get out.
You used the compressed air to ventilate the place.
But down there,
yeah.
Ah, it's a head, because it was very hot down there. You see, there was no other drifts or anything.
Yeah.
You were more kind of in a box.
Yeah. Where did the compressed air come from?
Oh, from the machines up at Dumbles and the Welsh, them places. Compressed air come right down the down from there. Them machines up there.
How
the men that was doing the haul of the stuff from the mines were using the compressed air just to say it the same way, you see.
Oh, the compressed air come from up there, the top of the land.
Yeah.
How big were the pipes?
Yeah.
Or the pipes. I don't know how you would see it when down the thing, but it's well hidden in somehow.
What, it was buried in the side?
Buried in the side. Yeah. Especially in the thing. That's the only place I knew where it was, the compressed air, was in Dumbles, going down to the 302. But they had it in latterly in the 50 where they had to use the machines, you know.
Sorry, where was that they used the machines?
In the 50 when Williamson took over.
Oh yeah. Well, I think that's been interesting. Is there any more questions? I don't know whether it's Norman. Well, I think it's all for nearly an hour. It's been very, very interesting. And I'd like to thank you very much.